Hello, everybody out in computer land. My name's Steve Mathis, and you're listening to the RacerX Canada podcast show, brought to you by Shift Racing. Visit shiftracing.ca for all of your racing needs, now and in the future. My guest this week is none other than a Shift rider. His name's Kyle Beaton, and he races in Canada in the MX2 class. For all you Americans, that is the 250F class, or the Lights class, or the 125 class. Really depends on how old you are and where you're coming from. But Kyle came down to the U.S. this year and raced four Supercrosses, qualified for two of them, and simply put, he's one of my guys. I like the kid. I want to help him. I first met him in 2005 when I was at Yamaha, and we did the Canadian World Supercross rounds. Yamaha Canada's instructions to me with the bike is, at the end of the race, give it to this kid named Kyle Beaton. He's going to take it home. So I got to meet Kyle. I got to meet his dad, and they were great people. His dad always telling me and reminding me that Kyle's schooling comes first, and then he can pursue his career as a motocross rider. And he's a pretty good rider. I watched him that weekend, and he was really good. He just crashed a whole bunch, went fast, crashed, got up, went fast again. And I saw something in him that I just thought was some potential there to help him out. And when I heard he needed help securing some sponsors, I made some phone calls and got him some deals, and certainly helped him out last year in the MX2 class in Canada, MX2 West. He won his first ever national last year, Canadian National, in Nanaimo, BC. And I was really, really happy to be there to see that for him, to see him do that. I think that he's got a future in the sport as full-time down here in the U.S., eventually maybe following in the footsteps of Dusty Clad and the mighty JSR. And I just want to help the kid out when I can. So here is the Kyle Beaton RacerX Canada podcast interview. I think by the end, you'll also be a KD Beats fan. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.
Hey, this is Davey Coombs from RacerX, and when I've got some free time, and God knows that's often, I like to relax to the soothing sounds of Steve Mathis and his podcast.
KD Beats.
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, not too much. Just hanging out back home now after a brutally long flight home. Yeah. But, just hanging out.
Cool. Hey, so I got to ask you, is KD Beats catching on?
Yeah, no, everyone's starting to call me that. I even, on all my emails I send to my sponsors and just to people, even like on the forums, the topic is KD Beats. Even you got me hooked on that.
Really? That might be my proudest moment ever.
Yeah, I mean, that should go in the history books there.
I know. I mean, let's face it, I made that up. That's totally my deal. Nobody gave me the idea. It's 100% my deal.
Oh, yeah, it's all you. All you.
I wish I could get a royalty from it.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to the real subject. So you were in London over the weekend racing in the Future West Arena Cross Series, and I wasn't going to do a Canadian on the show for a little while until the Nationals got going. But
right.
In honor of you beating downtown Mike Brown in the in the overall, I had to call you and get you on a podcast. So what was that like?
It was awesome. You know, we showed up Thursday and kind of had Friday just to hang out and just try and get used to the time change and stuff, and Saturday came around, and when we showed up there, the Dirtworks is guys who were building the tracks over there, and they did a pretty good job. It was in, like, a hockey arena, so, I mean, it was tight. It was long, but it was really tight. Like, the lanes were, like, separated by hay bales, and, you know, it was tight, and I knew I could beat a lot of those guys, and just going in there, I was just having so much fun, and I said, what the heck, I'm going to beat everyone, and put in some good times and, like, practice and stuff, got the track down quick. Supercross definitely helped with that, because, you know, you have to go out there and jump everything right away and get it down quick. So I was able to do that right away, and qualifiers went well, won both those, had chased down Brownie in the open qualifier and passed him and stuff and battled with him and got that win. And just from there, I knew I could win it, and had some bad luck in the 125 main. Came together, got a bad start, came together with another rider, kind of T-boned, actually, and took us both down. But, you know, that's just that tight racing, right? And open main was good. I got a good start right behind Mike and Carl Nunn. Got by Carl pretty quickly and just put my focus on Mike, and he was about 3-4 seconds ahead of me, and just charged hard, caught him, started pressuring him, started making mistakes, and and I was able to get around them clean. And, you know, I just kept charging and pulled the comfortable gap and took her in for the win.
Nice, nice. I know I read something on the press release or something where he was complaining about lappers, but I started thinking, well, Katie Beats has got the same lappers. I mean, it's not like, you know, he said lappers held him up a little bit, but, I mean, you had to go through them too, so.
Yeah, you know, I mean, lappers were definitely an issue, but, I mean, it was the same for all of us. I mean, there's a couple things. I mean, his mechanics, I guess, weren't too happy with Chris Foster. I guess they had a few words for him. He's one of my buddies, but, you know, I was right behind them, Mike, basically when we got into the lappers, and some of the lappers he got through quick, some lappers I got held up. It was vice versa. I mean, yeah. The way I got around him, he kind of just messed up himself. He just kind of got cross-threaded off of in the rhythm section and just got around him there. I just got to think way ahead on that track to get around the lappers and just set them up. You know, you got to be aggressive with them and kind of not hold back and be like, oh, they're just a lapper, I'm not going to do nothing stupid. But, you know, you just got to like, slam and get around them as fast as you can.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's arena cross. That's what it's all about. But I wonder if Mike Brown even knew who you were. That'd be pretty funny. He's like, I just got beat by this little tiny guy.
Yeah, I don't know if he knew who I was or not. I know I've raced him in the past over there a couple of years ago and stuff. But I've never talked to the guy. The only thing I've talked to him was it was a good race and vice versa, you know, after those races and shook his hand and stuff like that. But, I mean, in a pit or anything, I've never even seen him around in the pit.
He's a tough hombre, I'll tell you what. You just went toe-to-toe with the Muddy Creek Assassin and came out on top. So, I mean, I'd be pretty proud if I were you. That sounds like an awesome ride. And, I mean, I've seen him T-bone the crap out of dudes. So he knows how to play the game.
So. Yeah, for sure. You know, I've watched him for years growing up on TV and then at the races that I've been to. And I definitely know what he was capable of. And I know I was a little nervous when I was riding around him. I didn't know if he was going to come in on me. But, you know, he was cool. We kept it clean, you know, and put on a good show for everyone over there.
What about your bike? What is your super mechanic mic? Like, what was done to your bike?
Well, I got a stock bike is brand new, pretty much. They did, like, a magazine test on it. Mm-hmm. The old Mighty Mike there, he just brought over my ignition and the pipe, Pro Circuit pipe, which helped out tons. And he bolted that on along with the suspension, and it was awesome. You know,
really?
The bike worked great.
Bone stock motor except for a pipe and ignition.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I was getting good starts. I was able to get over all the obstacles that a lot of guys were having trouble with, but I'm only 135 pounds, so that probably played a little bit of a factor in it.
Yeah, you're tiny, Beats. You're tiny.
Hell yeah. I can hang on, though.
Yeah, yes, you can. What about, what were you doing there? Were you in an airplane hangar, or what was that buzzing noise?
Oh, that was just the radio. Oh. I'm just in my truck.
Oh, okay, all right. So you raced Supercross this year for the first time, and you did pretty good, qualifying for two out of your four main events. What was that like? Was it overwhelming, underwhelming? What surprised you? What did you expect? You know, just talk about that.
Well, I mean, it was definitely a big move, and just going down there and just being with those guys, it was nerve-wracking. Not just being on the track with them, just being in the pits with them and stuff.
Yeah, like Tim Ferry and stuff.
You know, yeah, like he's the most intimidating guy I think I know, just because of what you told me. Just kidding, Tim. But, yeah, you know, it, just like standing next to like Dungy and like Lawrence and on Riders Meeting and stuff like that, all those guys, it's just like, wow, I'm actually here. This is the big show. And, you know, the first round was definitely a little tough. I mean, my nerves got the best of me. I mean, it was good. I learned a lot. And second round came around. It was muddy, so I was stoked for that just because I ride mud lots back home and knew I could do good. And, you know, those California boys, they don't tend to ride mud too much. And up here, we ride mud for fun, practicing it and stuff. So, I mean, that definitely boosted my confidence there and managed to get made it into the main there, managed to allow Dungy to land on my bike.
Yeah.
And
good job on that.
I think it might have wrecked his Supercross. I'm not taking responsibility for that.
No, do not.
Anaheim 3 came around, and full of confidence. I was excited, couldn't wait to go out there and do it again. And I had some good times in practice, and managed to put her in there for the main again, right out of the heat races. And it felt good. You know, that was a turning point, I think, in my career, was that heat race, being able to make it into the main right out of there. And
I mean, and like legit too, like nobody crashed, you know what I mean? Like you were in fifth and you finished seventh, I think. And I mean, it was legit, like you were fighting tooth and nail. And I mean, it was nothing given to you, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, I got a half decent start going into the first corner. Somehow managed to squeak around a whole bunch of guys on the inside. Came out fifth, like right behind Metcalf, and just riding with like those guys and seeing those fast factory guys in front of you, you kind of just throw a rope around them and just follow them and just learn from them, learn the lines, and it definitely makes it way easier when you have those guys in front of you, because you just try and copycat everything that they're doing, and then sure enough, your lap times drop down right with them. And now I got passed by a few guys, but it was good. I managed to hold off the rest of the pack to get eighth. It actually was.
You got eighth. Well, seventh sounds better, but.
Yeah. Got to get the straight facts, though.
Good point. You're right. I should have known that. Well, that's cool for you. I mean, definitely that's got to, you know, open up your eyes for next year and really make you want to come down and do, you know, all the West Coast and get it going from there. I wish you wouldn't have missed the first two, because, you know, I think you would have really, your learning curve would have been a little bit better. But I know you had to do that movie up there, and that was a pretty financially rewarding for you. But next year, we got to get you down.
Yeah, next year, now that I know I can do it and I know what it takes to put her in the main, I'm going to come down a couple months ahead of time and prepare myself. Whereas this year, I kind of just winged it, yeah. Headed down there like a week before, drove straight through 24 hours, showed up at the race.
Yeah.
Raced, only rode, practiced like twice on like supercross track and went for it. But I'm going to go down there next year and get a couple solid months of testing and training in and riding, and hopefully I can improve.
Did you get on that Yamaha contingency thing yet?
No, I don't even know what's going on there. I kind of just
come on, Beast. It's a lot of money.
I know. I looked into it, and it just wasn't working out. People weren't getting back to me, and
Beats. Do I got to make some phone calls for you?
Maybe you might have to.
Little Beats. Jeez, you could use that money. I'll see what I can do.
I've tried with everyone up here in Canada, and it's just not working, man.
Okay, it'll work. I'll figure something out. We'll do the. Remember the plan I was telling you about? We can't talk about the plan though. But remember the plan?
Yeah, the plan. Plan is definitely. I think
the plan is going to have to happen. Yeah. Anyways, so, well, that's great for you. And I know you picked up a few new sponsors, too, and some people were noticing you. So I think combine, you know, your finishes down there, that's tough to do, man. First, second Supercross, you're in the main. Third one, you're in the main. I mean, that's definitely, you deserve some credit for that. And
yeah,
how do you compare that to your fifth at the World Round in Vancouver last year? Like, was that easier, harder? I mean, can you compare the two?
No, you can't even compare the two at all. I mean, no. I was probably that fifth at Vancouver was probably the highlight of my career for myself anyways,
mm-hmm.
Just because of who I was racing, and it was a Supercross event. And now that I've made a main in a U.S. AMA full-blown Supercross, it definitely tops that. Even though I only finished 20th and 19th in the mains, it means more to me just to be in the main than anything else that I've accomplished in my career.
Oh, that's cool. Good. Yeah, once you get in the main, man, anything can happen for sure, and you had some bad luck, but, you know, that happens. So, 2008, you're waiting for the Canadian Series to start. You're up home, but you're having some problems getting a ride. What are you riding next year?
I don't know, man. I have no idea at this moment. I mean, there's a couple of things that I'm trying to get put together, and there's a couple things that some people are trying to get together for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some things look really good, and there's the pros and cons to both situations up here with the two things I'm looking at. I'm also looking at maybe just going and buying a couple bikes in the U.S. and going to do some U.S. nationals. So it's all up in the air right now. I mean, I'll go a 75% chance that I will be racing in Canada. But, I mean, there's that slight chance that I might just say screw Canada and go to the U.S. I mean, it's not no one's fault. It's just the industry up here. No, bike sales are down and stuff like that. But I mean,
oh, I certainly. I mean, when you read in RacerX Canada, you know, Simon Holmans, who's national number four, basically can't get help from Yamaha. You know, I mean, the times are just tough for everybody.
Yeah, you know, even I guess the factory teams are hurting. I know, like just little sponsors are just saying, oh, we can't give you money, but we can give you product. Like it's hurting. I think a lot of people, and I'm not sure if it's just in Canada or I'm sure it's probably across the whole world.
Yeah, no, I think it is. I think it's a downturn in the whole thing. There's that noise again.
Yeah, it's just me starting my truck.
Oh, okay. So I think a lot of people listening want to know, I mean, you're obviously probably the top Canadian in the MX2 class the last couple of years. What's the deal, and you're on a Yamaha, what's the deal with you and Blackfoot? Why can't you two guys get together? It seems like a real natural fit.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I don't know. It just hasn't worked out. You know, I had the chance to ride for him like 3 years ago, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
on Hondas. I was still in school, though, and my parents just, I think it was 4 years ago. I'll go with 4 years ago. And my parents just didn't want me to dedicate my complete life to motocross yet. They wanted me to finish off school and get good grades. You know, you can get hurt at any point, and if you don't go to school and get an education, you're stuck with basically nothing. So I went down the path of getting a good education and getting good grades just in case something did happen with an injury and I couldn't race anymore. And so I couldn't commit myself to what they wanted me to commit to, I guess. So I decided not to do that. And just this past year, I guess, they didn't really... I talked to them, and there's a couple of things behind that whole thing, but I don't know, won't say what exactly happened, but I guess we just couldn't come to reasoning, and just couldn't happen, I guess.
Hmm. So. Yeah, that's a real shame. I think they're missing out, and I think you're missing out. You know, hopefully down the road something can happen there. What are your feelings on, if you do the Canadian series, what are your feelings on the 9 races now?
I think it's good. It's kind of a crappy year to have changed it to 9 rounds just because of the industry.
Yeah.
It's going to cost triple the money and stuff like that. But just from my perspective and just worrying about racing and showing up at the track and riding, I think it's great. You know, I tend to take a couple rounds to get going, and I'm known to have that one or two bad motos. So, you know, this year I think I'll be able to do that. Not that I'm going to. But if it does happen, or bike failure, which won't happen either, you can kind of take that and still be in championship contention at the end of the series.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing for a guy like you. I mean, you've kind of smoothed out over the years, but I know, like, when I first met you in Vancouver in 05? Yeah, 05. You were fast, but it was kind of like you were like a grenade with the pin pulled, you know? You were a little crazy. It was just maybe going to end up in an ugly scene with you, but you seem to have smoothed out a little bit, and
yeah,
you know what I mean. And so I think that's going to help you, because I do think that sometimes, you know, you're going to have that bad moto. 18 motos will be better for you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, growing up as a kid and with any sport, I hated losing, and when I wasn't winning or in the lead or anything, I just freak out and just do whatever it took to win. And most of the time it bit me in the ass, and I'd either crash or get kicked off the team if it was like baseball or soccer. They didn't like the poor sportsmanship and me freaking out on my teammates, but I love to win. It's in my blood, and I would just do whatever it took to win. And you know, I think these last couple of years I've learned a lot, where you know, you kind of have to slow down to go faster, and settling for second is better than crashing out, and it's all coming together now. So,
yeah.
I mean, just those little things that people have told me for years that I've kind of just ignored, but figuring out on my own now.
Well, you're getting old now, Beats. I mean, how old are you?
I'm almost 20, man.
Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, you're practically done. You're over the hill.
Yeah, you know, I've been pro for since I was 14.
Yeah, it seems like you've been around a long time. Like, I've been reading about you for a long time. I guess that's why.
Yeah, I don't know. It's almost like I'm a veteran, you know, but, you know, I still got a lot of years left in me, and I can't wait to go out there and win some championships.
Who's going to be your toughest competition in the MX2? I mean, obviously nobody, but, I mean, if you had to pick somebody.
Well, there's always Blackfoot Trotter, right? I've raced him in the past, Aaron Harvey. Mm-hmm. I beat him at his home track, Honey Lake, Loretta Lynn qualifier. So I know what he's capable of. But, you know, just having that Blackfoot support, and most riders that do get the Blackfoot ride do ride good when they come up here. So, I mean, you can't count him out. I'm sure there's going to be one or two other guys that will be out there. But, you know, my biggest enemy, I think, out on the track is myself. I don't know. I'm just going to have to wait.
Yourself and maybe Yellow Flags. What about you getting docked in Morden last year when you were cheating?
I wasn't cheating.
I know. I'm just kidding. But what were your feelings on that? You're pretty upset about that, huh?
Yeah, you know, that was a tough go, and that hurt. I was freaking, couldn't believe that actually happened. But
it cost you a lot of points for sure.
That it did, you know. But I mean, they docked Jimmy too, so
yeah,
it wasn't too bad.
I mean, they docked half the field last year for jumping on yellows.
Yeah, their rules, I don't know, I don't even want to get started. I'll just end up freaking out or something.
Yeah, we don't need you to get blackballed from CMRC here.
Start dropping F-bombs and stuff like that.
Hey, how do you, who's your close buddies racing?
Well, I hang out with Chris Foster a lot. He's like my best bud, and he's always around. We always hang out, you know. We have a blast together. We're always trying not to get in trouble, but we seem to get in trouble here and there. You know, we like to have fun. We like to go play riding. When we ride together, we just try and clean each other out and stuff like that, just to keep it fun. And
that's always a good time.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time with him riding, so it's all never boring with him.
Weirdo kids.
Oh yeah.
I know Ferry went to I always got to put a Ferry story in there, but Ferry went to Millsap's house training last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
With Brian Johnson, Davalos, and Davey, and somebody else. And all they did was cut the track, miss the triple to take each other out. That's all they wanted to do. They thought it was hilarious to just try to clean each other out. And Ferry loaded up halfway through the day and went home. He's like, I'm too old for this. They were laughing and giggling. One guy would not jump the triple and jump ride beside the triple and then take out your front end. And they would just think it was the funniest thing ever. So it must be something with kids. I don't know. I must be getting old.
Yeah, just young and dumb, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I guess yeah, you could get hurt, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could.
I guess we don't think about that when we're having fun.
But you will never get hurt wearing Shift gear. Shift, the sponsor of RacerX Canada's podcast.
No, you can. I shouldn't say that. There might be some lawsuits if I start saying that you can never get hurt.
Oh yeah, never mind then. All right.
Yeah, but it definitely helps out.
I'm trying to promote Shift here, bud.
It's definitely the best looking gear out there, I think. I mean, I wear it, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you ever been in a limo with those chicks like Hepler? I mean, was that ever something that?
No, I'm gonna have to talk to them about that actually.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to do some negotiation there with the contract. I think.
So. Or maybe they'll just put you in with a machete and a goalie mask like Tyler Bowers.
Yeah, something like that.
Although you're not very scary.
That wouldn't work. I'd have to do some like more of myself.
Yeah, exactly. How was winning your first race last year? How did that feel? I mean, did you know from, you know, I was there that day at the wonderful Nanaimo facility, and I, from the start of first lap of practice, I really thought you were going to win. You just looked on fire the whole day. Did you know you were the fastest guy? Did you feel different at that race compared to any other?
I don't know. I definitely knew I was the fastest guy after practice, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think that I'm faster because it's my home track. It's closest to home, but I don't ride there, man. That track is so beat and worn out during the week. You might as well just go ride on asphalt. And you know, the only time I actually ride there is during the national. And just having, I think, all my friends and family there, and just relaxed and stuff like that. You know, I won mentally, I think it was.
Wow, that's a good one. That's a good quote. Good noise quote. Yeah, it's not like you're going to take a $120 ferry ride there and back to go ride Nanaimo.
You know? Yeah, exactly. No, it's
even though it is a wonderful facility.
Yeah, you know, you can see the whole track.
Yes, you can. Yes, when that's the best thing you can say about a place, it's got some problems.
Yeah. But you know what? I actually didn't mind the track at all. I'm kind of weird like that. When people hate the track, I love it. And, you know, I like a lot of tracks. I mean, it's the same for everyone. I tend to like the hard pack tracks a little bit more just because it takes more technique and finesse to ride them.
You're a good jumper, I think. You're naturally a pretty good jumper.
Yeah, I didn't do anything great, though. I really wanted to jump those last two tables, but I just couldn't quite get over the first one.
You didn't jump that?
I couldn't. I don't know. I managed to wad myself on that jump on my 450, though.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
I went into the fence. I just heard that.
I think Ron Hyde told me that.
Yeah, I just about hit, like, Dean from Blackfoot or something.
Maybe that's why you can't get a ride.
Yeah, maybe.
Now, what about when you go over to England like that? Do you get along with Fasciati and JSR?
Oh, yeah. We hang out the whole time. You know, they're both great guys, and we have a lot of fun. Me and Chris and Brock hung out mostly. It was fun. We all toured around London on the Friday, went and did some sightseeing. I was pretty much over it halfway through that. I'm just not much of a sightseer. I just go see what I want to see quickly, and then that's it. Go back and rest up.
Did you eat some fish and chips?
No, don't eat fish and chips over there. They keep the skin on it, and it's, like, really gross.
Did you go to Piccadilly Circus?
No.
Did you go see Buckingham Palace?
Yeah. We went there. We went out. We saw Big Ben, that big watch or whatever.
It's a clock.
Clock, sorry.
No, it's not
clock.
A watch.
Well, whatever. You can tell time on it.
keep riding, Beats. Just concentrate on the riding.
I think I will. We went up in that big Ferris wheel. Ferris wheel thingy. And you could see all of London. That wasn't really my style. It was all right.
JSR's a cool guy, huh? Is he intimidating to you at all? I mean, is he... How is he?
Yeah, he's cool. You know, we get along great. He's the new Oakley rep, and you know, it was fun hanging out with him. And we talked lots, and he was super pumped on me and that sort of stuff.
Good. Yeah, he's a great guy, and I think I don't think he's one of those guys that will hold something back because maybe you're not a Blackfoot rider or whatever. I think he just wants to see guys do good. Canadians do well.
Yeah, he's always helped me out tons, and he's always. Help me out with lines and just stuff in general. So, I mean, he's super cool to hang out with. He's down to earth and he'll do whatever it takes to help out.
I gotta get him on a podcast one of these times. He'd be a good guy. He's got some good stories.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he does.
The internet. What do you think about the internet? Do you read it much?
The internet.
Yeah.
Like forums.
Yeah, motocross forums. Do you go on them that much?
Yeah, I go on them all the time.
Well, at least you admit it.
Yeah, I go on there all the time. I like reading up on stuff. I post on there, so, you know.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. You know, the MX Forum helped me out lots this year. They raised a bunch of money to go down and race the Supercross round. So, I mean, if it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't have been down. They helped out so much, and it just made life so much easier. I go on there. I like to see all the gossip and read up on stuff.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I think that's awesome that everybody pitched in and helped you out. I was going to give you some bucks, but then I realized that I let you stay in my hotel room in San Diego, and so that was my contribution to your racing.
Yeah, thanks, by the way. That helped a lot.
Oh, yeah. I know you did so well.
Yeah, I didn't really, did I? Yeah, maybe, no, we already went over that. Can't blame it on you because I stayed with you.
Yeah, no, I don't want to be blamed. I'll start crying. Now, I gotta ask you this, Beats. I took a little poll among the RacerX Canada guys for some questions for you.
Yeah.
And one of the questions I got from an unnamed editor, Danny Bro, was he said, "Why ask Beats why some people in the industry think he's a rock star?" Do you?
I didn't even know some people thought I was a rock star.
I didn't either. This is what an unnamed editor, Danny Bro, said. I mean, is there any way that you think you'd give off that impression? I mean, I don't see it, but, you know.
I mean, I don't think so at all. I mean, usually I'm, like, the last person signing autographs at, like, arena crosses are the most approachable, I think. I mean, a lot of fans seem to like me because they can approach me and I'll hold the conversation with them. And even at Arena Cross, I've been dragged by my jersey to the line because I'm still signing autographs and talking to people, you know. And I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'm just asking a question, man.
Yeah, that's your job.
Hey, did you when you were racing Supercross, did you have any interaction with any riders? Did any of them talk to you? Did anything exciting happen that way?
I know a couple of them just from past, and talked to Jason Thomas quite a bit, and like Dusty Klatt and Jeff Gibson, Paul Carpenter,
yeah,
those type of guys. Just guys that have come up to Canada before and just know them from that. But no, I didn't really meet too many new people. I mean, I just kind of stuck to myself. I was probably too nervous to go and say hi. I mean, I looked up to most of those guys watching from the past, and to be racing them is kind of probably weird if I went up and asked for their autograph when I'm right beside them on the line.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I figured you were pretty nervous when I went down in San Francisco down to the starting line, and you had your helmet on a good 45 minutes before the main event. You were standing.
Well,
you were standing there.
Well, that was cold. I had to keep my ears warm.
Oh, that's okay, Beats. I understand.
Yeah.
No, that was cool to see for sure. What have you ridden any of the tracks back east in Canada? Do you have much?
Yeah, I've rode every single one except Gopher.
Oh, okay.
And so I know the tracks a bit. You know, I know what to expect and how rough they get and stuff like that.
How's your sand skills for Gopher?
Well, that's a secret. You can't be laying up about all the secrets, you know. I could be a really bad sand rider, or I could be the best sand rider there is.
Yeah, that's good, Beats. I like that. Playing mental games.
Everyone's going to have to wait and see till that round.
Maybe Aaron Harvey's listening right now.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe everyone's listening.
Well, for sure Chris Foster will be. So he'll be psyched out.
Well, just don't do an interview with him because he knows how good I am in the sand.
Yeah, we'll keep that quiet.
Yeah.
What do you like better, 254 strokes or 125s?
Well, I'm going to have to go with the 125 two-stroke.
Really?
For playing around on anyways. I mean, when it comes to racing, they just don't have the torque and the traction that 250F does. But every once in a while, hop on a two-stroke and just go out there and rip around and probably have the most fun that you can possibly have riding.
You still have a 125 two-stroke?
No, I wish I did. Yeah. You know, that I ride Spencer's bike every once in a while, Spencer Knowles, two-stroke, and you know, I just hop on that, just do a couple laps, and it's like brings back memories and just so much fun. And you can just throw those things around anywhere.
Yeah, they seem pretty light now, huh? When you get back to it.
Yeah, you know, you can put them wherever you want. It feels like a little XR50 or something.
Huh? And then, so for racing, 254 strokes, but for riding, 125 two-strokes. For the record, that's what you say.
Yeah, just playing around on a two-stroke, the best. You know, you can just the sound, the fumes, and just everything like that.
Yeah,
makes it so much more fun. Whereas four-stroke, you know, you can be lazy on it.
Yeah,
and not have to do everything perfect. But you know, it's the way of the future, and everyone's just got to, I guess, learn to adapt to them. And yeah.
Speaking of four-strokes, your bike's pretty good, huh?
Oh, I think I have the best bike in Canada by far. You know, I can't wait till, you know, if I do stay on Yamahas for the summer, I can't wait for everyone to try and race me down a straightaway. You know, they're going to get yanked huge.
Plus, I mean, yeah, combine the fact with the fast bike and then combine like 135-pound KD Beats.
Yeah, I might as well just ride a 450.
Wow, that's a bold statement.
Yeah.
All right, anything else you want to add? Anybody you want to thank?
Oh, I'd just like to thank everyone who's been behind me this past winter and the past summer, and just MX Forum for all those guys on there stepping up and helping me out. And
you ever met Hammerton?
Yeah, I've met him. He's a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, he's kind of not like what he seems like on the internet, you know?
No, totally. It's two different people, you know. He's always liked me, and you know, we've always gotten along good. So he's great. You know, he got that whole thing started with helping me out down south, and I can't thank him enough for doing that. And then there's Ed from Clearbrook Yamaha. He's been behind me since I was on 80s, and he's done everything that he possibly can to help me out. And Shift, you know, they're the big major gear sponsor there. You know, they do everything they can to make me look good out there on the track. Rick Sharon.
And they sponsor this podcast as well.
Yeah, you know, they're stepping it up and helping other things out in the industry. You know, everyone should just go and buy Shift Gear.
Yeah.
Because you'll look good and good be comfortable.
Good
and,
beats, good.
Rick Sharon from Mechanics Wear and 661 Sunline Garnet. He runs all those, you know. I've been wearing that stuff for quite a few years now. And, you know, he's behind me totally, and I don't have to worry about any of that stuff.
Does Brady ever get cool stuff before you do?
Yeah, he gets all the stuff before they're even out.
Yeah, geez. Oh, well.
I always try and steal some stuff off him, but, you know, Brady's pretty stingy that way. He won't give me the goods till they come out.
Yeah, yeah.
No. But, yeah, then there's Tim, Zacharias from Enzo, you know, he spends countless hours helping me get my suspension ready and setting it up. I mean, I don't even have to set the sag when I get it. I mean, we check it, and it's always dead on. I don't even have to change the spring or anything like that. Mike, my mechanic, he's always there for me. He's always got the bike running great. And just all the fans, and of course you. You've been a great help this year, Steve, and I can't thank you enough.
You can thank me, Beats, by winning. Just makes my heart just tear up when I just think about you winning the title next year. So.
Oh, yeah.
Well, cool. Thanks for doing this. Good luck this season, and I'm sure we'll check in, maybe do a mid-season podcast on you.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Thanks a lot, Beats.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Okay. Later.
Ciao.
And there he is, none other than KD Beats himself, Canadian national number 22, and the favorite for the MX2 championship in Canada this year. And I got to say, he's a real great guy, and I want to thank him again for coming on the show. I think I'll do a mid-season with him, like I was saying. I think he's going to be a kid that has a bright future, and I want to help him out as I see him climb the ladder and hopefully one day come down to the U.S. and compete full-time. I think he's got what it takes. I think he's a personable guy, and I think that he appreciates everything that he gets from all of his sponsors and really appreciates what he has being a professional motocross racer. And with that, I'm getting a lump in my throat just talking about the little guy. So thanks again to all of you for listening to the RacerX Canada podcast brought to you by Shift Racing, and I'll see you next week.